Okay, so first of all, thank you so much for coming along to this session today. I love talking about Christian mentoring. It's a real passion area for me. And it's a ministry area that is really expanding. And I think it's also an area that, as I speak today, you might actually realize that you've been involved in Christian mentoring informally along the way anyway. So I'm really hoping today that you'll get an idea of maybe some ways you could push into this area a little bit more, maybe some training opportunities or some ministry opportunities for yourself at your church. So first of all, I want to ask the question, where does the word mentor come from? So the word mentor isn't found in the Bible. It's not a word that, that we find within the Old or the New Testament. It actually has its origins in another ancient document, which was written in Greek. So I want to start by telling you a story, and I wouldn't be surprised if some of you are familiar with this story. Now, a long, long time ago, a famous poem was written. This poem was about a man who fought in a war. He had to leave home. He had to leave behind his wife and his child to go and fight in this war. It was a long war, but the funny thing is, it took him just as much time to travel home from the war as it took him to fight in it. It was waylaid by a number of mythical creatures and the wrath of various gods. But before this man went to war, he had the foresight to entrust the care and education of his son to an old friend. So can anyone guess the name of that old friend? Yeah, that's right. And do you know the poem that I'm referring to? The poem I'm referring to is the epic story called The Odyssey by Homer, which was written in 800 BC. So in The Odyssey, Odysseus entrusts the care and education of his son Telemachus to his friend Mentor. Mentor served as Telemachus's teacher, role model, counselor, facilitator, supportive protector, and guide. And those are roles that we often associate with mentors today. So that's the origin of the word mentor, but what about the Christian bit? So what's a Christian mentor? So when we read the Bible, we see that the Christian walk is not a solitary game. We're saved into a kingdom, into a family, and once we have relationship with God restored through the Lord Jesus, we find we not only have a heavenly Father, but we have a new earthly family. Now, Paul wrote about that in his letters to Timothy. He encouraged Timothy to treat fellow Christians as fathers and mothers, as sisters and brothers. And Paul encouraged Timothy to follow his example in life and doctrine. So Paul is a guide for Timothy as he grows in his ministry. Paul is a role model for Timothy of what mature Christian service looks like. And Paul encourages Timothy with the deep truths of the gospel. So you could say that Paul was like a mentor to Timothy. But if we go back a little bit in Paul's story, he wasn't always a mentor. Paul was actually mentored by Barnabas. So Barnabas's mentoring relationship with Paul is highlighted in Acts 9, when he introduced him to the other apostles. And we see another aspect of that mentoring relationship when Barnabas recruited Paul to help him teach the new followers of Christ in Antioch. That's in Acts 11. So we find that Barnabas actually guided Paul during his development from a novice follower of Christ to the greatest propagator of the faith in the early church. So if we look at the life of Paul, we can see that he was a mentor and he was also mentored. And if you think more broadly about the grand sweep of the biblical narrative, you can see mentoring relationships scattered throughout. So these are particular relationships where one person has a role in encouraging and shaping another, who then goes on to be significant person in the unfolding story of salvation. So in the Old Testament, we have Moses and Joshua. We have Naomi and Ruth, Elijah and Elisha, could say Eli and Samuel in a lot of ways. And then in the New Testament, we think about Elizabeth and Mary, Barnabas and Paul and Timothy, as I've just mentioned, and maybe even Philemon and Onesimus. So you can see that although the word mentor isn't used in the Bible, I do think that the concept is there, and there are a number of particular relationships that do have great kingdom significance. So I would love to hear from all of you about what made those mentors so effective for you. What do you think makes a great mentor? So hands up, I'd love to hear some ideas. Yep,
hand. Godliness.
Godliness, absolutely. Yep, if it's a Christian mentor, you want someone who's walk with the Lord you can emulate. Yep, Pat?
Encouragement.
Encouragement, yep. So someone who's encouraging. Yeah, that's great.
Speaking the truth in love.
Speaking the truth in love, yeah, that's great. Yep,
Confidentiality.
Bruce. Confidentiality, absolutely. That is so important. You can't be a trusted person unless people know that what they speak about with you goes no further. Up the back.
A good listener.
Yeah, that's gold. That's a really important one.
Patience.
Yep. Patience, yep. Yeah.
Time,
having a time commitment, yep, absolutely.
Example,
yep, someone who's godly example you'd like to follow.
A good listener,
that is definitely so important. That comes up time and time again. Yep, up the back.
Allowance to actually make mistakes.
Yep.
And then to follow through and improve on that and being there constantly. I think the constancy over so many years.
Yep, absolutely, yeah. A long-term mentor is amazing, yeah. And I think what you just said about allowance to make mistakes, often people think of a mentor as someone maybe in their organisation or in their ministry who's just a little bit more senior than them. But the literature shows us that it's actually more effective to have a mentor who's outside of your ministry or your area. Because in a lot of ways, then they're that little bit more separate. If you're being mentored by someone who's more senior than you in your organisation, you've actually got a bit of a vested interest in impressing them. So maybe not feeling as free to be able to, talk about how things really are. So it's often best to have someone who's a little bit removed. Yep.
In your presentation, you made an assumption we knew somebody had mentored us. I think a lot of men have never had a mentor.
That's true. Yep. Yep, certainly very true. Yeah. Yeah, I think, and that was something when I first started getting into this area, I thought, oh, who have been my mentors? And I struggled in some ways. I'd never been formally mentored by anyone. So
I think ladies more often have mentors than men.
Yeah.
Interested in the show.
Yep. Okay. Well, how about we do that now? For the men here, who has had a mentor,
has not had
a mentor as an adult, right?
You're talking about informal mentoring?
Informal, formal, yeah, whatever. Yeah, even an informal one. Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, if you can't find that man, maybe you have to be that man.
I've had a mentor.
Yeah.
Taking up Keith's point, many of us.
Yes.
And I know there must be a subtle difference between the mentor and a role model.
Yeah.
But after I was mentored in my early Christian days, my role model has been Billy Graham.
Yeah, right.
And he has had an enormous influence and impact on my life. Mm. So I don't know what the difference that you would say between a mentor and a role model.
Good question. I would say the biggest difference would be proximity. So, Billy Graham, absolutely fantastic role model. I hazard a guess you haven't met him, or if you have, maybe just had a brief interaction.
I've never been mentored.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, someone like Billy Graham his legacy goes on through his books and sermons and, his legacy and so on. So a mentor, particularly if you're talking about formal mentoring or professional, if you're even paying someone to be a mentor, then, you would be having regular meetings and, a plan for what you're working on together. Anyone else want to share an idea of what made a mentor so effective?
Mentoring as well.
Yep.
Because you were sharing what your life journey was, and then they were praying into that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something when I started looking into mentoring for myself, that's I realised that, oh, a lot of the things that we do in ministry informally are mentoring-like, yeah, do have a mentoring quality. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah.
We look at mentoring as a lot of areas in your life, such as a sports coach.
Yep.
Such as your parents' role. And then one of the suggestions came out that we read Christian books of, say, Francis of Assisi, all those guys, and that they take you through a mentoring process of reading their books.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, that's another, yeah, a great gift to us is, yeah, books and
someone
things.
Someone who's empathetic and can converse with you about situations. And
yep. Yeah, so someone who's empathetic and can, yeah, can listen and then talk about situations.
And
yeah.
Non-judgmental.
Non-judgmental, that's another great one.
And be prepared to correct.
Yep. Be prepared to correct. Yeah, great. That means the mentoree has to be prepared to be corrected as well. So that's a big buy-in from the mentoree. Okay, well, thank you for that. It was a real joy to see the depth of conversation that I was observing around the room. You've obviously got some great ideas about mentoring. Okay, so one thing in particular that I wanted to pick up that came up a few times was the importance of listening. So really being listened to by another person is just so, so precious. I want to share a quote with you. It says, "Being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable." What do you think of that? Yeah, it is powerful. I think particularly in this day and age where there are a lot of people who are wanting to make their opinion known, it seems like there is a lot less listening going on. So it is such a powerful thing to be able to sit with someone and actually just listen to them. So I started mentoring students at BST back in 2015. So BST, the college I work at, has a very intentional mentoring program where every student is assigned a mentor. So all the faculty at college are mentors. They have always got an external woman in because there's not many women on faculty. So I've been working as a mentor there for a number of years now. And it's funny, when I first started mentoring, I'd done a lot of one-to-one ministry and so mostly within a student context at university. But when I first started out as a mentor, I thought, well, these people are coming to see me as a mentor, so I should be giving them something. I should be imparting my wisdom. But in the mentoring training that I've since got, I discovered that maybe the most profound thing I can do is to listen to people. All right. I'd love to share another quote with you. Now, this is from Diane Langberg, who's a psychologist in the States who's done a lot of work, particularly with people who have experienced spiritual abuse or have been in Christian churches or organisations where there's been some abusive leadership. But she, just says this about mentoring. "Pastors and leaders often live with little to no oversight. I cannot tell you how many pastors, young and old, have shared with me, often with tears, their longings for good mentors. They long for someone to listen and ask hard questions." I think that's something that came up with you all before. "They are eager to be taught about faithful ministry and about integrity in ministry and in the home. They have no one in their lives for whom they are not also responsible as a shepherd." So this, the Christian mentoring, I guess movement is it's particularly a ministry area that's really growing in people's understanding and priority of it. And there are, a lot of different training opportunities that are available. And like that quote says, there are actually people who are really looking for Christian mentors. Yeah.
I know that one of my pastors is involved in organising, I think statewide, small groups of ministers, about half a dozen, and they go away together for 2 or 3 days and do the sorts of things, reflection, sharing of ideas,
Yeah.
Encouraging one another.
Is that a Presbyterian church by any chance? Yes, I know exactly. Oh, I know exactly the system they're using. It's fabulous. Yeah. So there are a lot of denominations that are really understanding the need for some good mentoring for their people in pastoral ministry and in leadership generally. Yeah, I'm thinking that in this room there's a lot of experience and wisdom, and I wonder if some of you might be, really suited to the ministry of Christian mentoring. So, we've seen in that quote just how so many Christian leaders are really yearning for good mentoring. I think in this particular cultural moment that we find ourselves in, it seems that there are a lot of stories coming out, you know, with horrifying regularity about prominent Christian leaders who are falling in disastrous ways. And I think often young leaders or people training to be in Christian ministry are looking at that, and it's really quite scary, and are really asking themselves, wow, could that happen to me? So I've been listening to the podcast, The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. Has anyone heard of that? Mm-hmm. So Mars Hill, it was a mega church in the States. Yeah, Mark Driscoll was the pastor. It was a mega church in the States that was, really huge for a while, but then it came out that the main pastor was a bully and a narcissist, and it all fell in a heap spectacularly. Christianity Today have put together a podcast, basically just looking at the history of what happened and how, such a spectacular rise and fall could happen. And I know a lot of people, my husband and I have been in uni ministry for a long time. I work at a Bible college now. So we're around a lot of people who are thinking about full-time Christian ministry and who are potentially training for it. And a lot of them are listening to that. And it's really scary just seeing, the kind of things that can happen when leadership doesn't have accountability and, really any mentoring. So we have a student minister at our church at the moment, and I was talking to him about that podcast the other day, and he was just saying, look, I listened to that and I can see why he did what he did and how that could happen to me. And so he's a young man who's training for ministry, but I just think what an amazing thing that he's got that self-awareness to go, there but for the grace of God go I. And so he's a young man who I'm going to be encouraging to get a really good mentor and make sure he's accountable in a lot of different areas. Yeah. So in terms of what this might mean for you guys now, there are a number of different levels of Christian mentoring that you could get involved in. So when you shared about the people that you've experienced as mentors in the past, a lot of the time that might have been an informal mentoring sort of thing. So I can look back for myself on I went to high school camps up here at Mount Tambourine, wet camps in high school, and I remember particular leaders when I was in high school who I just looked up to. I thought they were fabulous. I wanted to be just like them. I really think that those people were powerful, informal mentors in my life. You might be involved in some sort of formal mentoring. So a lot of churches will have, maybe programs where you might be paired up with someone else to read the Bible and pray. You might be in a situation where you're in some sort of denominational leadership or in a Christian organisation where you're paired up with people or you have some sort of supervision. There's a real acknowledgement these days that mentoring and those sort of relationships are very important for formation of people in Christian life and in Christian ministry as well. And then next level, mentoring, there's a growing movement of professional Christian mentoring. So that's basically where you might actually pay someone to be a mentor for you. So there is a number of training courses and things available to for people to get those sort of skills. So the Presbyterian Church I mentioned before, there is some training available through the Presby Church. It's heavily discounted if you're a Presbyterian minister. Don't know if that's anyone here, but if it is, you probably know about those opportunities. There is an organisation called the Australian Christian Mentoring Network. Now, I'm actually on the executive committee of this. It's a nationwide organisation of people who are involved in Christian mentoring. So it's people who, there, many of us are mentoring professionally, but there are a number of people who are mentoring informally or maybe formally in a Christian organisation. Basically, it's just a collegial network of Christian mentors. We get together once a month on Zoom to do a bit of networking and training. We also have an annual conference and occasional get-togethers sort of in states and regions as well. So if this has really piqued your interest, I'd really encourage you to have a look at the Australian Christian Mentoring Network. Just Google them. They're easy to find. It does cost about $75 a year to join the network, but that opens up a lot of resources for you. And there is an application process as well to go through if you wanted to join that. But if you are at all thinking that you'd like to get some more training in this area and like to be exposed to and network to more people who are interested in this and working in the area, then I'd highly recommend that. I've got a few flyers here about the ACMN as well. And the other thing is at BST, where I lecture, I co-teach a couple of subjects in Christian mentoring. So we offer a graduate certificate in Christian mentoring. It's three subjects, and you need to have a mentor, and you get to do some supervised mentoring as well along the way. So if you are interested in really going further with this, those three subjects will set you up to be a professional Christian mentor at the end. Give you a lot of tools and, just a really solid theological foundation for Christian mentoring.
Do you see a difference between Christian mentoring and non-Christian mentoring? And are there similarities? I know there would be big differences.
Yes.
But are there similarities in a lot of that?
Yep. So the question is, what are the differences and similarities between Christian mentoring and non-Christian mentoring? So certainly Christian mentoring, I mean, at its heart, we're looking for where is God at work in this person's life and in their sphere of influence, and we're, looking to be encouraging people in their Christian life and walk and ministry. In terms of, there is a lot of wisdom in the secular world in terms of mentoring. So probably in the last 20 years or so, there's been a huge increase in the literature and sort of the push for mentoring particularly within the corporate sphere. So there's a lot of great stuff that has been done. So we take the good bits of that and use it in the course. So I suppose that's it. Most of the time, I think secular mentoring is around career paths and that sort of thing, whereas the Christian mentoring that I'm talking about is a lot more holistic than that.
Yes. When you talk about non-Christian mentoring, is that what is now being called life coaching?
Yeah, I would say, it is probably akin to life coaching. That's right.
Well, it's been a great session, and I'm sure we've really appreciated everything Kylie has said. It's now 3:00, and if you feel like you need your afternoon tea, you can. I'm sure Kylie will answer some more questions if you come up and talk to her. But her coffee should arrive any second, so please let her have her coffee as she talks. And it's really great. And I think there's a lot of things we can take away from this session. The need for men to have mentors. I know that in my life, and that is a huge need. And the other thing that came to my thought recently. In our area, there were six pastors who were of the same denomination, supposed to get together for mentoring. Three pulled out because their churches didn't release them. You go back to your church, encourage your pastor to go off and do mentoring, because that is really beneficial for him.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's other things that have come out. We just thank you, Kylie.
Yeah, thank you very much.